Every morning since May, I've awakened to the songs of three different male house wrens. One is nesting in my neighbor Jean Tonkin's yard, kitty corner from mine. One is nesting in the back of my own backyard, the third in a woodsy area next door. Yep, 2017 is the year of the house wren on Peabody Street. We always have wrens somewhere around here, but usually just one pair at a time, and never before have more than two pairs nested on this little corner of the block. Wrens love to hear themselves sing, but like other birds, they sing more often when they hear other birds of their species singing. In normal summers, I hear singing about several times a day. This year, I can hear them just about any time I listen. I'm pretty sure I've heard more house wren songs in the past 2 months than I heard in my previous 42 years of birding. Before 1982, house wrens each weighed less than 4 pennies. Nowadays, it takes closer to 5 pennies to balance one, not because house wrens have followed America's humans on the path to obesity, but because the United States Mint changed the metallic composition of pennies in 1982, keeping the exact same dimensions, but dropping the weight of a penny from 3.1 to 2.5 grams. Wrens consistently average between 10 and 12 grams. Ornithologists have studied wrens more than almost any other species because house wrens so readily use human-made nest sites and are ubiquitous, relatively abundant across most of their range, and tolerant of human activity. House wrens occupy the broadest latitudinal range of any native songbird in the New World, breeding from across most of Canada down to the southernmost parts of South America as well as into the West Indies. The house wren account in the Birds of North America online is rich in insights about them as it summarizes a lot of current research results. Many of us enjoy house wrens for a more elemental reason than research. They're so tiny, with a song that sounds so cheerfully bubbly and exuberant to our ears that they make us happy. Wrens don't have quite the same effect on invertebrates. Their diet seems to include nothing but insects, spiders, millipedes, and other tiny arthropods. I found two records of house wrens helping other bird species. One 1968 report documented a male house wren feeding a brood of nestling red-shafted flickers. In another case documented in 1924, when a male house wren did not attract a female to his nest box, he fed a brood of rose-breasted grosbeaks in their nest in the same tree, and also passed food to their parents to feed the young. He fed the baby grosbeaks for some time after they fledged, and then started to feed a brood of baby house sparrows in another box. Offsetting those two unique cases, there are many documented cases of house wrens puncturing eggs, killing nestlings, and even killing adults of other species. Birds of many different kinds are known to chase house wrens, apparently with good reason. I took lots of photos of the pair of wrens nesting in Jean Tonkin's yard. The longer birds care for their eggs and then nestlings, the more invested they become. And so, as the nestlings have started appearing at the nest box entrance, the parents have grown much more wary of my presence. I don't like stressing them out, so I don't have any photos of the young peeking out of the nest. I'd rather picture in my mind's eye little baby wrens looking out at the big world than get a photo of it knowing that their first sight was of a paparazzo upsetting their parents. The modern world poses enough stresses on birds without me adding to them. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.